Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Steeple Church this fine morning. It's starting to look brighter outside, and with the sunshine coming and a bit of summer for a change after a month of cold, wet and damp, dreary weather. This morning, we're delighted that we're able to come to worship, but there's been a few changes obviously happening over the week with the General Assembly, which has been meeting and setting goals for the church for the coming year, all of which have been good. One of the good things that's come out of, at the end of this week, is that when we reach level one of the COVID, we can sing as a congregation in church. So a start of seeing new hope and new life back into the church again. Next week, the church will actually be open for this service, but the service will be on Zoom as we're doing now, except that people will be able to gather together in the church, with the same restrictions as we had at the end of last year. So there are some changes in moving back to church and things. With the vacancy, we now have a vacancy committee, or nominations committee, as the church likes to call it now, formed, and they'll be starting work quite soon with that. This morning worship has been led by Grant McLaughlin. Grant is not new to us as a church fellowship. He did some time with us during his training for the ministry, and has on occasions since then come back to visit us. So we welcome Grant this morning to our worship and ask us to lead us now in worship. Thanks, Grant.
Good morning, everybody. I don't know what the rules are. If you want to unmute and respond, just very briefly, that's okay. But maybe you've been told to remain mute. It is lovely to be with you in what is can only be described as a very strange time. It's great looking around the screen, seeing some very familiar faces. I suppose I'm just wondering how I've aged. But I'm also seeing faces that I don't know. And that's always exciting when you turn up at a church and there are new faces. So it is lovely to be back with you today. Let's just take a little moment to quietly pause and then to pray. Loving God, as we gather together, scattered in different homes, we come to give thanks for our shared story, our shared experience, and our shared faith. For we have all met with the risen Jesus, and he has changed our lives. Saviour God, we thank you for reaching out to us, for coming in Christ, for drawing us to yourself and calling us your children. Forgiving God, we give thanks for your endless mercy, your all-sufficient grace, for your willingness to welcome us home when we have rebelled against you and we repent of our sin. Transforming God, we rejoice in how you have changed us from sinners to saints, from those who were once your enemies to those who you call friends, from people who were broken into people who are being restored, from people who lived by the desires of the flesh to people who today desire to live by your Spirit. loving, saving, forgiving and transforming God, we come and worship you. As we gather, we do so also seeking to hear you speak into our lives. To sense your leading and prompting as we endeavor to live our lives for you. Some of us today find ourselves grappling to understand where you are, what you're doing, why you're doing it. We're confused, bewildered, unsure and uncertain because of a closed door or something which has not happened, which we had hoped would. Our plan has been halted. For some of us, we come seeking wisdom, longing for direction, looking for where you would lead us into your future. For some of us, we know where you're calling, but we need the courage that comes from the presence of your Spirit so we can embrace a new opportunity, a new possibility. Lord, we come to worship you. But we come seeking to hear you speak into our lives. In our homes today, as we gather, may we sense your presence. May we hear your voice. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to now listen and perhaps sing a song which some of us may know, some of us may not know. It's entitled, What a Beautiful Name, and just reminds us of how we come to worship Jesus.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name. Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you was great, your love was greater.
Our reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16, and reading from verse 6. That's Acts chapter 16, and reading from verse 6. Paul's vision of the man of Macedonia. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen.
Thank you, Tom. In the sort of late summer, early autumn of 2010, I was walking down the high street in Perth. And in the distance, I saw a friend, a lady called Di. And she was making a beeline for me, and all seemed to be fair. Until she got about three steps away, when she broke down in tears and literally grabbed and hung on to me. Very conscious of the fact that in the middle of Perth High Street, people were walking around as this friend sobbed. Eventually, she was able to compose herself. And we went and sat down just outside a shop. And she told me that she'd literally just been told that her husband, because of the financial crash, had lost his job. And for her, there was just a moment of grave uncertainty, fear, panic. What were they going to do? How were they going to pay their mortgage? How were they going to manage? This week, I caught up with Di's husband, John. We went out for something to eat. And I was talking to him about the fact that I was going to include this story in a sermon. And I asked John, I said, "Tell me, 11 years on, what's the story?" And he said to me, "The closing of that door was the best thing that could have happened because it opened the door of possibility. It's led me now to being self-employed, and I have a quality of life and a quality of work that I thrive in." A closed door led to new opportunity. The weeping and the wailing and the grieving for what was being lost has been replaced with a sense of delighting in this possibility, this new work. This week, I have to be honest and say that I attended General Assembly as a commissioner, and I found myself feeling as if I was encountering quite a lot of wailing people in the middle of Perth High Street, metaphorically. A lot of people who seem to be really struggling with the closed doors of what is happening at this moment. I can hear the confusion and the despair and the frustration and the anguish of colleagues and of elders and of church members. What is going on? As a national institution, we are facing the reality that things are going to have to be different. There are going to be doors that close. And I know that for some people that is painful because of the fact that they have a sense of call to a place, a sense of call to a community, and the reality that their church building may actually be facing closure. And so this is the question that we're all asking. What on earth are you doing, God? Why Are you closing doors? When it comes to discerning God's mission, there's a phrase that's often used just now. Mission is finding out what God is doing and joining in. It's a great wee phrase, but when I hear it, it actually reminds me of actually the challenge of discovering what my wife's thinking and trying to work out how to join in with that. It's an easy idea, but it's much more hard in reality. What is God doing? In our reading this morning, we encounter Paul on his second missionary journey. They've been around sharing with the church in Galatia the outcome of the Jerusalem Council. And that was something that was encouraging the churches and building them up. But the reality is that Paul, at heart, was a missionary. His passion was to plant churches. He wanted to see the gospel shared. And so before too long, he and his team decide that they're going to head off to the province of Asia, and they were going to preach the gospel there. Now, note, that's quite important. They were motivated by a desire to preach the gospel. And so they head off to the province of Asia, and what happens? God closes the door. So Paul and his team decide, well, you know, we'll head off to somewhere else, Bithynia. What happens? God closes the door. Here is a team of people motivated by a passion to make Jesus known, to plant churches, and God closes doors. What is going on? I think perhaps one of the things that's going on is the danger of just doing what is familiar. Paul was somebody who had experience of planting churches. He knew how to do that. In fact, if we actually said to Paul, if we had a chance and said, Paul, what's the story? How come you ended up going to Asia? And how come you ended up going to Bithynia? What was going on in your head there? He maybe would have said, well, it's what I do. It's my ministry. It's my mission. I travel to places. I preach. I plant churches and I move on. It's just what I do. And Paul had been very successful at that. But perhaps what was going on here was that Paul, having been so effective at that, had simply assumed that if he carried on with that strategy, God would bless his endeavors. Note, God would bless his endeavors, Paul's endeavors, Paul's plans. Paul had identified his next steps, what he wanted to do, his strategy, his plan, his mission. And I'm sure that in prayer, Paul said, Lord, would you bless this work that I'm about to carry out? Such an important lesson for us as the people of God. We must never lose sight, as perhaps Paul did, that we are invited to participate in God's mission first. Sometimes we are guilty of inviting God to participate in our mission. Now, that can come, again, from good intentions. It's not because we are not passionate or zealous for God. But it's just sometimes we get so caught up in our own passion, our own zeal, our own enthusiasm, that we actually forget that we're actually meant to be discerning what God wants us to do. It can happen really easily. I've been at Kirk Session conferences where we've been invited to brainstorm, or I've invited people to brainstorm. And before you know it, you've got 100 post-its and 30 flip charts full of ideas of what God would want us to be doing, all motivated by passion and a desire to share faith. But so often, those things can be our ideas. And the challenge is discovering what God's idea is. So how do we do that? There's a few things that I think we perhaps can learn from our reading this morning. The first is that Paul set off on his journey, but he was also open to listening. How good are we at listening? I do some training about listening with people, and I ask them, I say, what do you listen with? And people generally look at me and go, stupid question, your ears. But actually, the reality is it's not your ears that you listen with all the time. When my friend was moving towards me in the high street of Perth, it was my eyes that first told me something was going wrong. When somebody comes into where I work, sometimes the smell can tell me, there's maybe been a bit of alcohol consumed. So actually, we listen in a much more holistic manner. And so it is that listening to God requires us to use perhaps many more senses than just our ears. Paul and his team had set off to Asia and Bithynia. We're not told exactly how it is that the Spirit of God told them no, but what they were able to do was they were able to discern that. Somehow they sensed it. Maybe it was because when they went to those places, nobody was willing to host them, remembering that Jesus in Matthew 10 said that people were to go and to find some place to stay and to remain there. Maybe it was that they discovered that other Christians had arrived ahead of them and there were churches already planted. We just don't know. But what we can say is that Paul and his team were able to discern this is not what God would have us do. How good are we at listening for God? How good are we at discerning a closed door? Just having that sense that, maybe we didn't quite get that right. The second thing is that having listened, Paul and his team obeyed. Anyone here got a stubborn streak? Trying to interpret the faces. Now, you might want to just say that you're persistent. That's a better way of describing it, perhaps. I'm just persistent. I just keep going. I'm not going to stop until I get it done. It can also be stubborn. And sometimes one of the problems with being stubborn is that we can end up disobeying what God's asking us to do. Paul and his team had a plan. They listened and they discovered it wasn't what God wanted them to do. What did they do? Did they persist? Did they dress up and say, this is an attack from the enemy? This is, if we just try harder, if we are more diligent, let's have a morning prayer meeting. Let's get up at the crack of dawn. Let's pray more intensely. Let's do all of these things. Let's make sure that we continue to, because actually we know that God wants us to be doing this. Paul and his team didn't keep on knocking at a closed door. They listened and they obeyed. They moved on. Perhaps they were unsure. Perhaps they were a bit bewildered. Perhaps they were confused, frustrated even. Think about the fact that they've walked all that way, traveled all that way. But in the face of a closed door, Paul models obedience. What about us? We have our strategy. We head off to fulfill it. The door is closed. Do we keep on banging on it? Or do we listen and learn and move on? The third thing that we can learn from this passage is that as we are discerning what God is doing, waiting time is not wasting time. Now, if anybody has driven through Perth, you're aware of the fact that we have a red light every 25 metres. You cannot have a quick journey through Perth. And the reality is that it means that you have to factor in a huge amount of waiting time to get anywhere. I wonder if that's worth thinking about when it comes to discerning what God is calling us to do. Maybe we need to factor in some waiting time, not wasting time. Imagine as Paul and his team are heading towards Troas. We're not told why they head off there again. I'm sensing that God is prompting them in some way. What were they doing during that time? During that time when, yeah, okay, we should have been planting churches. We should have been preaching the gospel. We should have been making converts. We should have been. But here we are. We're heading towards Troas, towards the coast. Perhaps this was a time for Paul and his team to reflect. Paul and his team to consider. Paul and his team to learn where they had got it wrong previously. And so it is for us when we experience closed doors. Is it time when we are able to step back? And instead of thinking, oh, it's a waste of time, it's waiting time where we can spend time reflecting and further discernment. Because it was in that waiting time that we're told that Paul has the vision of the man from Macedonia, inviting him, calling on him to come over to them. Which brings us to our final point this morning, when it comes to discerning the future. One of the things I've been learning over the last 6 years in Tulloch is surprises trumps strategy. God's surprises trumps human plans. And so actually for Paul and his team, they had never thought about Macedonia. They had never even considered the idea that God would be calling them over there. And so this came as a complete and utter surprise. Oh, right, okay, God. If that's what you would have us do, we're told that they then very excitedly pack up and head off. And the new phase of mission and ministry happens. At the beginning of this little passage, Paul and his team started off with their strategy, what they'd always done. But God had a surprise for them. So what does that mean for us? I think for us as a church nationally, as God closes doors, we need to be willing to see this as a time of opportunity, of possibility. We need perhaps to be willing to give up knocking at closed doors. We need to be willing to discern that God is asking us to enter into a new phase and a new chapter of being his people. We need to be willing to be obedient and let go of what perhaps has been comfortable in the past, our strategies, our approaches. And we need to be willing as an institution to wait, not to rush ahead. But when we hear God's call, we do need to act. I think that's also the case as an individual congregation. You have a period of transition and change. You are working out what God is saying. You are trying to work out who's going to be the next person that works with you as you go forward into the future. You have your ideas. You have your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations. As you discern, are there things that you need to let go of so you can move on into a new future? And maybe on an individual basis, maybe some of you are at a place maybe similar to Paul. Maybe you're at that place where you're trying to work out what God is saying and doing. And perhaps it is just taking time to stop, to wait, and to see where God will lead you it may well be a surprise. When I spoke with John this week, I asked him, why, like, on reflection, what was your experience about closed doors? And he just said he never thought he would be capable of running his own business. Never thought. Just beyond him. And he said that was the big surprise, was discovering that actually I could do something different. And maybe that's what God's calling us to do, is to recognize that we can do something different. Not in our own strength alone, but in his strength as well. So, is there a closed door in your life? Maybe stop banging on it. Maybe walk away and embrace the possibilities of open doors. Amen.
Thank you so much, Grant, for bringing that message, which is so pertinent to us all as a church at the moment. Thank you very much indeed. We come to our time of praying for other people. So let's just bow our heads in prayer and bring before God all these things that and people that we care about. So Lord God, as we turn to pray for those that we love, for our neighbours, our world, we bow before you as the one who is the God of the journey. We bow before you as the one who calls us to be a pilgrim people, ever looking for this next stage in our journey, who you're calling us to serve. God, in that, help us to be a listening church, first and foremost, listening out for your voice in amongst all the clamoring voices of our times, as we journey as the people of God in your company, the God who leads by fire and by cloud, the one who called Abraham to leave his own country and go to the land that you showed him, the one who asks us to step out of the boat, trusting that we will not sink in your hands, the one who calls us to the journey of hope where you will renew strength. God, help us as we engage with your mission, prepare us for the surprises along the way. And so before you, God, we pray for those who've been forced to journey from their homes, forced by war or severe economic hardship or persecution. We pray for those who in these times have arrived in Dundee. God, we pray so much that they might find welcome and friendship and safety and security. All these things in which they can flourish as you, God, provide for them and renew them in hope. Pray for Connections Cafe, working in teams with the council and social enterprise all around Dundee, for those who've crossed international boundaries to be here and undertaken hard journeys to arrive here in our own city. God, we pray for those whose journeys are short, who just walk around the streets of Dundee and other cities in the UK, for those who wander and seek somewhere to settle and somewhere to call home here in our city of Dundee and all across our country. God, may they find in the mobilised people of God, people who are willing to move to help them, to offer welcome, friendship, safety, security, and a place to call home. Pray for all those who work with parish nursing, Eagle's Wings, and all the agencies across this city who act to help in so many practical ways, those who are so very vulnerable due to addictions, economic hardship, and poor mental health. God, we pray for those who journey from here to help in needy parts of the world, teaming up with local people to provide healthcare, education, and other vital parts of a community's infrastructure. We remember Elspeth's colleagues in Bach Hospital in Pakistan. We remember Steve and Katrina Bennett's colleagues in Gahini Hospital in Rwanda. We remember those working in Peru for the Vine Trust, providing medical care in the upper reaches of the Amazon. We remember Jim Robertson's sister and her Nepali colleagues in Kathmandu, working amongst some of the neediest people in that country. We pray for Tear Fund in so many places across the world, serving Jesus where the need is greatest. God, we really pray you would bless and prosper all this work done across the world in your name. Lord, we see the devastation in the Middle East. We hear the name Gaza, and we wonder what the journey will be for that part of the world. Lord, mobilize all people across our global community, including ourselves, please, to act in whatever ways we can to end the cold killing and the persecution of innocent people, many of them children. We remember Yemen in extreme man-made famine. Mobilize your people to help, God, please. And India, Lord, we almost can't bear to watch the images of devastation that the coronavirus has brought to that country. And we pray so hard for all people who mourn there the loss of loved ones, unable to mark their lives adequately or gather their community around them to support them in their grief. God, we pray for those people, and we ask that you would mobilize your church to help. May the church be there in the midst of the suffering, God, speaking your word by incarnation into those shattered places. Lord, we pray for those whose journey is an internal one, a journey of the heart, with struggle with poor mental health, anxiety, depression, despair, discomfort with gender, coming to terms with poor childhood experience. God, we pray for those who daily have to make the journey of adjustment to significant health issues and all the impacts on daily life that those have. We pray for those who've entered the territory of grief as they mourn the loss of loved ones. And we hold our own dear Myra before you, God, today, asking comfort for her and peace that passes all understanding for her and her family in these days. Lord, in this church community, we're networked into so much need. So many people who need comfort, support, love, locally and internationally. And we just take a moment in silence to hold before you those who you have laid on our own individual hearts, particularly to pray for at this time. Lord Jesus, you've traveled the ultimate journey. You left the glory of heaven to travel the road to Golgotha, to the cross, bear the sins of this broken world. And then you traveled that astonishing, rising journey from death to life, that we may be restored to travel in hope, in the company of the God who loves us more than we could ever know, welcoming and serving all the people who we meet on this path of faith. Lord, for all those you call us to serve, we pray for Eagle's Flight. As we end this prayer by reading the words from Isaiah chapter 40. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and they'll not grow weary. They'll walk and they'll not be faint. Lord God, whether you call us through listening to just wait for a while or to mobilize right now, God, we pray that we might be agents in bringing about for all people that we encounter and those that we know this great journey of hope. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We finish by singing our second song, which is Go Forth and Tell the Glory of the Lord. Please watch the words and the video and sing along if you'd like to. Go forth and tell the glory of the Lord.
So just before we break into our breakout rooms, let's just close with a short prayer. God, bless each step that we take today, whether that road is rough or smooth. And in God's strength, may we step out in faith, step out in love, step out in peace, and bless this world with God's presence in and through our lives. Amen.